No. You see, you can have good deeds that are not God deeds. Amen? But Jesus only did the God deeds that were also good. Amen? So after he had done all the healings, everybody's all excited and so on. The next morning, the Holy Spirit says, go. And the disciples say, but you have all the sick and all the poor down there waiting for you. Let's go to another city. He walked away. That's how Jesus, instead of going with the human desire, he continually aligned with the desire of the Father. Amen? And even as we are living through this life now, it's very easy to be drawn away by human compassion, by human honey, and we miss God. It's not necessarily a sin, but it's a missing of the high calling of God because we're so compassionate. I was giving a sermon in the church as a guest preacher once, and after service, the man came into the church. Well, the pastor was not at church that day, so he asked me to come speak in his place. So I did. So a man comes into the church, brothers and sisters, I need help. I'm broken. Can you just give me something to tide me over? Bless the Lord. Praise Jesus. And in my spirit, I'm saying, this is a scam. But the elders of the church, remember, I'm a visitor. I'm not the pastor. I'm a visiting preacher. So the elders of the church gathered around him, and they all prayed in a circle. And the man knew all the Christian lingo. Oh, yeah, praise Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Oh, yeah, Lord. And afterwards, he collected some money. And I felt, I said, no, but I have no authority in that congregation. But they had this human compassion, human honey. And I was very upset, but I had no authority, so I had to let it go. I called the pastor after. I said, such and such happened in your church. And he said, oh, not him again. He's done it before. And I said, so why do your elders, why did they give it the money to him? He said, you know, they're so soft-hearted. That's human honey. That's not a God deed. That's human honey. And you need the wisdom of the Spirit to tell you, this is not my will. Let him go. If a man will not work, neither should. Amen? So that's where Jesus made perfect decisions. Why his disciples were pulling on him, come, take care of the poor people here. Feed them. Heal them. No. We have to go to another city. So in little decisions like that, to major decisions, Jesus always brought his human nature back in line with the Father. He never strayed one day. And he set us a perfect example. So now we inherit all the blessings because he was perfectly obedient. Amen? So keep that in mind. So that's a blacksmith hammering a piece of metal into shape. And that's what Jesus did with human nature. Next slide. That's a quote from the theologian I spoke about, Thomas Torrance from Scotland. He's passed away. He says that in his incarnation, Christ not only took upon himself our physical existence from God, but in taking it into himself, he at the same time healed it, sanctified it, changed it, bending our will back to agreement with the divine mind. Throughout the whole course of his life, Jesus Christ converted the mind and will of estranged humanity back to the Father. Amen? So this was going on each and every day of his life. The cross was just the final thing he had to do. But every day of his life, he was redeeming us, redeeming our human nature. And because Jesus did that, this is what we now have. When we came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Amen? Because Jesus was perfectly obedient in every way, when we are saved, each and every one of us has had our sin nature cut away. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Because we have to bring our soul into alignment, our emotions, our mind, and our will. That has to be trained. As Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That goes on throughout our life. The big word is sanctification. Transforming your thinking, your feeling, your process, and your behavior to God. But because of Jesus' perfect obedience, he did this for us right away. So we no longer have the sinful nature, but by God's grace, day by day, as we follow the guidance of the Spirit, we line up more. So we, in essence, are imitating what Christ did. Do we do it perfectly? No, we don't. Thank God for his grace. Amen? But Jesus did it perfectly. So now we have our sinful human nature removed. Now, throughout our life, day by day, we have to make right decisions so that our mind can be aligned with Father's mind, following the perfect example of our Lord Jesus. Another reason why our salvation is so great. Amen? Next slide. This is what we know so well, of course, what Jesus went to the cross and did. He suffered and died for us. And this we know very well. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because this is an area we know very, very well. It says on verse 12, our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And this is such a blessing. And when Reverend Helen and I were in Nepal, I was teaching a class about righteousness and about Jesus being the perfect and final and only sacrifice God accepts. And one of the students after the class came to talk to us. He's all excited. And he said, I think he used to be Hindu or something like that. But he said before he became a Christian, he would go to the temple and take a chicken or some animal to the priest to kill the animal to cover his sins. He said, so it is so good to hear that Jesus is the only sacrifice. We don't have to kill animals anymore. Amen? We take it for granted. Yeah, we know that. But to him, being a Hindu, coming into Christianity, it was such a wonderful revelation that Jesus is the one final and only sacrifice. Some people are still slicing animals and thinking that takes care of their sin. It doesn't. They need to know the truth as we do, that Jesus is God's final and only sacrifice. Amen? Next slide. Again, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in passing, I just want to mention that when it says that God made him sin, it doesn't mean that Jesus became a sinner in the spirit. Jesus was a sin bearer. He was like the lamb that's laid on the altar. In the Old Testament days, before Jesus came, when someone sinned, they bring a lamb to the priest, for example, put their hand on the head of the lamb, and confess their sins. So in essence, a transaction took place, an exchange. The sins of the person who was confessing the sins were placed on the lamb, and the innocence of the lamb was transmitted to the person. When the lamb was killed, the offerer of the lamb walked away. His sins were covered. So that's what Jesus did for us. Our sins were placed on him, and we are now free. But Jesus himself, in his spirit, was never a sinner, but he was a sin bearer. Amen? He was a sin bearer, but in his spirit, he was always pure. Because remember, the Trinity is one, Father, Son, and Spirit. And you can't say that at one time God was sinful. But as a sin bearer, he bore in his body all of our sins. And that in itself is absolutely horrible. To think of what he went through for us. Most of you, all of you have probably seen the movie, the Passion of Christ. And that gives a good example of what Jesus went through. And actually, it was a lot worse than the movie showed. Because in Isaiah, I believe it says that Jesus was beaten so badly, he hardly looked human. He was flayed as the hooks would dip into the flesh. It would rip the skin and leave just the bare skin open. At one time, back in the States, I bought a cat and nine tails for a demonstration in the church. And it's really a horrible piece of equipment with leather straps, with metal pieces stuck in there and bone. So when it hit the skin, it would just dig into the skin and rip the skin off. Jesus went through all that for us. And recently there have been some videos made where it shows that Jesus essentially was flayed. His entire back was stripped open. He did that for us. Next slide. This is coming on to another reason, in addition for forgiveness of sins that Jesus provides, he also provides healing of our diseases. Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Griefs in the Hebrew actually means sickness or disease. The word sorrows means sorrow or pain. I say this because my denomination years ago in America said that, oh, it's talking about spiritual things. It doesn't mean actually healing, it means spiritual things. Next slide. This is the Young's Literal Translation of the same verse. Surely Our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains he has carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. So some people have tried to explain that away by saying it's all spiritual. It is not. And this means a lot to me personally, because after we came here in 2015, when we went back to the States, December of that year, I started having some very, very strange symptoms in my body. Frequent urination at night, dry mouth, and then my sight started to go. My eyes, I started to have a really bad vision. So I went into the doctor, and they did some tests on me, and they said, let's check your blood sugar level. Now, the American system is slightly different from the system you have here, so I have to relate it in American terms. In American terms, if your blood sugar is between 80 and 100, that's normal. So below 100 is preferred. That's normal. My blood sugar was 813. 813. 813. More than 8 times the normal rate. There's another thing they use to test your blood called the A1C test, which shows how your blood sugar has changed over 3 months. Normal is below 7. Mine was 13.8. When the doctor saw that, he was shocked. He put me on an IV drip for like 2 hours, I think. My wife was waiting in the waiting room in the hospital. Where's my husband? What's going on? They had me on the drip. They gave me insulin, and then the doctor gave me this long lecture about you can go blind and you can lose your limbs and you'll be impotent and all the worst things. And I'm saying, not listening to you. I'm to myself, not listening to you, not listening to you. So I went home with all these pills. I've forgotten some of the pills. I had glipizides, and there's another pill you use for stimulating the pancreas. I can't remember the name of that one. But I was on insulin for 10 days, and I sent out prayer requests, please pray for me, and so on. I'm claiming the scripture. So for 10 days, I'm on insulin, and on the 10th morning, I sent the Lord telling me, that's it, stop. Now, for those of you who are sick, you hear what the Lord tells you, okay? This is I'm telling you my testimony. I'm not giving you medical information as a doctor. But the Lord told me, stop. So I put aside the insulin, went to a book by a medical doctor about turning around diabetes. So we started walking 2 miles every day, cut out carbs almost a zip, no sugar, no white rice, no white flour. After 3 months, my A1C was down from 13.8 to 8.6, and my blood sugar was below 100. In 4 months' time, my A1C went from 13.8 to 5.6. And my blood sugar was around 95 or so, perfectly normal with no medication. So my doctor was very angry when he heard that, you're not taking medication? What's the matter with you? You dare defy me? This is exaggerating a bit. But once he had me tested, his mouth fell. He looked at the results. He looked at me. And the nurses all came out and were congratulating me. Wow, you're doing so well. He said, you're not taking anything? I said, no. I was believing the scripture. Amen? Within 4 months, I was totally back to normal. Oh, I had my eyes checked. My eyesight was not only back to normal, my prescription strength was reduced. Amen? That's because of what Jesus did for us. Surely, his sicknesses and diseases he has borne, and our pains. And that was not the only one. Last year also, what else happened to me last year? We were walking along on a vacation, and I started to smash my face on the concrete. And then I started to have numbness in my arm, numbness on the right side of my face, numbness on my tongue. Blah, blah, blah. So I went into the doctor, took an x-ray and everything. He said, we can't see anything wrong with you. I said, okay. So I just prayed. It took about 3 weeks, and then all the symptoms left, all the numbness left. Then about a month after that, I had a urinary tract infection. Never happened in my life before. What is going on, Lord? I went to the doctor. They gave me something. Didn't help. So the Lord said, just wake up and go praise me. So I get up in the morning for 2 weeks, lift my arms up, and sing worship songs for 2 hours every day. After 2 weeks, without medication, healed. Application of this.